Well, I've been trying to get this podcast for ages. I'm sitting here today with Tracy Simmons, my really good friend and colleague at Echo News. And welcome, Tracy.
Hello, Peter.
Right. Well, let's start right at the very beginning. Tell me about your childhood, your schooling. So where were you born? How many siblings have you got in your schooling? If you go on with that first, I'll carry on after.
Okay. I'm one of five children. I am the youngest, and I was born in Accrington, born and bred, very close to the town centre, and I'm 58 years old, and my eldest brother is 75.
Well, that's quite an age difference, isn't it?
Yeah.
So tell me, are you closer to any of your siblings than others, or, you know, I'm not asking to be your favourites, I'm just saying...
Yeah, I have two sisters, two brothers, and I'd like one of my sisters lives away in the Midlands. I try to go down and see her as often as I can, but yes, my two brothers and me and both my sisters, I keep in contact all the time.
Yeah, and your schooling, where did you go to school? And what were you like at school?
So, I like to think I was a good girl at school. I went to Benjamin R. Greaves, up Plantation Street. I'm from the Sander Lane area, that's where I was brought up. And I used to go to St. Paul's Church on Plantation Street as well. And I am still in contact with some of my friends from, you know, from those days too.
Do you have a school outing? Do you have like a school reunions and things like that?
When I went to St. Christopher's, and when we all became of an age, when we were 30, 40 and 50, I organised the school reunions for the classes that we were in. And funnily enough, I've just been in contact with one of my old school friends from Benjamin R. Greaves, and we think it's about time that those of us who were left who were still in contact to try and do some kind of a reunion. And at the minute on Iben Chat, there's somebody put a post up, did you go to St. Christopher's? So I've actually offered, this is from the 50s, 60s, when it first opened, and I've actually offered to help to organise a school reunion for the 30 years, from the 50s, 60s, 70s.
So when you say you were a good girl at school, were you good at your lessons? Were you quite bright? Or?
I like to think I was quite bright. I've always been friendly. For anybody who knows me, I've always been very talkative, and I've always got a story to tell.
Oh, I know that.
And lots of things, obviously, through my life, I can honestly say that I could write a book, and I could also write a book of secrets.
Yeah. So you might need a ghostwriter, though, eh?
Possibly, yeah.
not touching bridges or anything. Yeah. So when did you first realise that you were sort of good at marketing and selling things?
When I left St. Christopher's, I went to work in a local accountant, Joe Howarth and Co. But I worked on the reception, not as an accountant, but on the Morrison Building Society on the corner of Stanley Street. And I was there for 4 years, and then a job vacancy came in the local newspaper to go and work at Citizen Newspapers. And I thought, do you know what? I could do with a change of career, thinking not what I could do. I'd never done sales before. And I just went for it and got the job. And one of my best friends actually just died recently, about 3 weeks ago, who I've spent many, many years working with, which was really sad. And they used to call us Injun Bracket. But on my day of the interview, one of the assistant manager gave me, it was actually a big pen, and he said, sell that to me. And I just told him, you know, it was cheap and cheerful, very cost effective, very reliable, good branded name. And at the end of the interview, he offered me the job.
Excellent. Well done. I mean, we've known each other since, well, about 13 years now. And we sort of hit it off right away, didn't we?
But we did.
But we both had some personal problems where your husband was diagnosed with cancer at the same time as my wife.
Oh, don't marry me off, Peter.
And we sort of really bonded over that, didn't we?
We did.
Because we were going through the same thing.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, Rita didn't make it, but your husband did, and he's a lovely guy. Well, I say husband, but not technically correct, that, is it?
No.
No, you've been engaged for...
We've been engaged on August the 9th, so just very recent. We've been engaged for 37 years.
Wow. That's a long time.
And we've been together on November the 19th.
But tell the listeners what has to happen before he'll marry you.
Oh, yeah. So one of the conditions that we met on November the 19th, and we discussed about getting engaged in the March, only 3-4 months after meeting. And so when we did eventually get engaged, and it was fine, we never had a date in our mind. Obviously, 37 years later, we still haven't got a date in mind. But, and he said, when England win the World Cup by 5 clear goals, then we can set a date.
Yeah.
because the women, obviously, has just been in the World Cup and got to the final, I reminded him of that fact, and then he suddenly started to get an headache.
Oh, I see. Well, there you go. Anyway, I asked you to pick some songs, didn't I, on the start of this, and you sent me 5 songs along, and the first one you picked is Long-Haired Lover from Liverpool by Jimmy Osmond, which we're going to hear now. And after we've listened to this and had a little break, I'll ask you to tell me why you picked that song, okay?
Okay.
So for the moment, Tracy, thank you very much. Long-haired lover from Liverpool by little Jimmy Osmond. He's not so little now, is he? And you could tell me why you picked that. What you drew you to that song? Because it's, I must be honest, I haven't listened to that for quite a while now.
No, neither have I, Peter. When I was 7, that was the first record that I actually purchased. I've still got all my vinyl, and I just love listening so much to little Jimmy Osmond, because I think he might have been only maybe about 12, possibly, at the time. I can't remember. But I went on to become in the Osmond fan club.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, and I've still got my badge in my personal belongings for the Osmond family. And obviously, later, Donny Osmond became, obviously, everybody had pin-ups I'm sure back in the day.
Well, when you were about 4 or 5, they actually used Andy Williams show. They used to have The Osmonds on all the time on there.
Right.
When you were starting off, so I don't even remember that. You're only 4 or 5.
No, I don't remember that. But one of the things with the records, when I was a child growing up and there was 8 of us who lived in the, you know, we lived in the house, my brother used to love records so much so that he became a professional DJ for 25 years.
Oh, that's Daryl, isn't it?
That's Daryl, yeah, Daryl Simmons, and it was Slipdisc Roadshow. But he actually, if people remember, there used to be on a Friday night at St Anne's Church in the basement, it was called the Cellar Disco. And my brother used to do that, so I grew up with record decks, you name it. I had the biggest bedroom in the house, so in my early days, my dad worked on Accrington Railway Station for 25 years, and I had to share my bedroom with a train set going all the way around my bedroom, just enough space for me to be able to have my bed and a wardrobe. And then under the railway was my brother's decks and all his record collection that he were buying records constantly way, way back then. So when he used to sneak out and be DJing, I was too young then to go to the Cellar Disco, but I did eventually get to go when I was at an age that I could do. But I used to just enjoy playing all the records that he left behind.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, that's one way to sort of learn different songs. But I mean, you said St Anne's, that's St Anne's Catholic.
St Anne's Catholic Disco, yeah. On Cobham Road.
Was your brother a Catholic then?
No, he just
ended up doing that.
Just ended up doing that with Father Davis was the vicar at the time. And everybody came from everywhere to the disco on the Friday night.
So now moving on with your career from leaving school to working at the Citizen, what happened next?
Well, I worked on the Citizen group of newspapers as a tally ad for about 8 years, and then I eventually passed my driving test when I was 30. And after 7 attempts, and perseverance does pay off, because I passed on my 7th attempt and I made headline news on the front page of the Citizen. And I had a carrot dangled in front of me saying, Tracy, you passed your driving test and you can have a company car and become a rep. So I had that goal, obviously, to be able to do that. So from that, I repped on the Citizen, and then the Citizen merged with the Lancashire Telegraph, and then I became a field sales rep on the Telegraph. So I was covering all the areas in East Lancashire. So I did Rossendale and Clitheroe and Burnley and Pendle, as well as Accrington, you know, Blackburn and Darwin. And I gained experience in doing that. And one of the things I loved doing the most was going out and doing specialist features on certain subjects, which has helped me today in doing what I do. And from that, I actually left and went to the Lancashire Evening Post for 18 months. And then they created a position back in 2003 to entice me to go back to the Lancashire Telegraph, and made a position, and I became head of niche publications. And basically I was in charge of a team of 4, and we created magazines for all different subjects. You know, so I, from that experience is what my career is now, that helped me along and what I enjoyed doing the most.
Yeah, and it sounds like you put that to good use as well.
I did.
So how did Acorn get born then?
So I left the Telegraph and I went working for another local publication called the Local Herald, which I launched into Accrington and Oswestry. A lot of people may remember that. And then on my anniversary, one rainy day, November the 19th, I was in Oswestry, and I was parked on the straits, and I'd crossed over the road further down. It was absolutely bucketing it down. I went into the civic theatre, crossed over, and there was a block drain. And basically, I went round the inside of the fitness bank, and I slipped an algae and bounced off my knee, and I didn't walk for 6 months.
Oh, I had to
learn to walk again from that. I had a quad tendon repair, so I just then decided I had to have rehabilitation. I was on crutch. I was in a wheelchair, went on to crutches. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of my old customers said to me, Tracy, do your own magazine and we'll support you.
So does that mean, did the Telegraph not hold your position open then after that?
Oh, the Telegraph, when I left to launch out, because I had to go self-employed, which was a scary thing. And even to the last day of me leaving, I was still wondering if I was going to do the right thing to go out and, you know, do the Herald. And they left the door open for me and they said, Tracy, if you don't work out, your job is always here. So I had nothing to lose.
So that's great. But you decided instead to crack out on your own and start Acorn Community News.
Yes.
And tell me how that happened. You'd need a printer and everything, wouldn't you? I mean, I know a little bit about it from when you started and we got in touch with you. Or you were in touch with somebody called Mary O'Rourke, who's a lovely friend of mine, who is one of my writers group at Oswestle. And through Mary, I met you.
You did, yeah. So back then, I was just bored at home and had no car. And I used to get a taxi down to Accrington Library. And this is amazing how this actually started. And I just used to love going in and just like reading books and researching local history to a point where I actually, through some of my old customers, a name called June Huntingdon was talked to me by so many people that they said, you know, you need to get in touch with June. She knows a lot about local history. And I just had this idea of, what I wanted to do. Anyway, one day I'd gone into Accrington Library. I was on crutches and I'd gone upstairs in the lift. And there was a board outside and it said, do you know where this is? And it showed a picture of Arden Hall, which is at the top of Plantation Street. And it was my play area from being a child when I was at Benjamin Hargreaves. And, you know, that was the park I used to play in. And I recognised it straight away. So I went to see John Simpson, who's one of the historians up there in the Accrington Library. And I said to him, I said, I know where that is. And he made the mistake of saying, really? And I said, yeah, told him where it was. And he just said, we've got hundreds of these pictures. So I thought, okay. So at this time, I was just putting thoughts together of what kind of magazine I could actually do. And I had my loyal customers who I'd dealt with at the time I've been doing this for 37 years now, for 25 years, who I'd dealt with these customers.
These are advertisers, aren't
they? These are my advertisers, yeah. And I just started writing down all different topics and things that I wanted to do in the magazine. And I asked John, would I be able to use some of the pictures that he said were identified? So through him and Catherine, they went to Lancashire County Council, obviously, and asked, it had to be passed. And then he gave me five pictures of different places where they needed pictures identifying. And I was given a half page at that time, and he had a sponsor for that page, and I couldn't determine which two not to use. So I used them all. So then that became, for the next 2 years, in my monthly magazine, the topic. Now then, every single month, my phone and John's phone, because it was a case of, do you know where this is? And Joe Public loved this page.
Oh, you remember that?
I used to get so many phone calls from from the public, and so did John, that a majority of those pictures were all identified. And the month after, we used to say, you know, this has been identified as that.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, really, and we did that until they ran out of pictures.
And people interested. Right, we'll go on to your next piece of music now. Now, this is a little bit different than Jimmy Osmond. You've picked London's Calling by The Clash. Now, that is, I love that song myself, and I really like it, but it was part of the punk era. So were you a bit of a punk in those days?
I was.
Well, you can tell me more about that after we've listened to this, but here it is, A London's Calling by The Clash.
Boys and girls, London calling. Now don't look to us. Phony Beatlemania is bitten the dust. London calling. See, we ain't got no swing except for the rain of the truncheon thing. The ice age is coming, the sun's zooming in. Meltdown expected, the wheat is going thin. Engines stop running, but I have no fear, 'cause London is drowning. I the imitation zone. Forget it, brother, you can go it alone. London calling to the zombies of death. Quit holding out and draw another breath. London calling, and I don't want to shout, but while we were talking, I saw you nodding out. London calling, see, we ain't got no hide, except for that one with the yellowy eyes. The ice is coming, the sun's zooming in, engines stuck on him, the wheat is going thin, a nuclear error, but I have no fear, 'cause London is drowning. I live by the river.
London's Calling by The Clash, and I was just thinking about you with your piercings through your nose, and your was it like that when you were a punk or what?
No, it weren't like that at all.
No.
So when I was 14, London Calling by The Clash, and obviously it's, I weren't really into Sex Pistols or anything like that, but I used to have my skin tight jeans and my Doc Martens and my. And I used to have a red, I think I still have this somewhere, it might be in the loft, but I used to have like a red sweatshirt with stiff little fingers on, because that used to be one of my bands I used to like. But on a Friday night, me and two of my friends, we used to go down Great Harwood on a Friday, and they used to have a punk disco. Yeah, and they used to have Tencent Music down there. And so they used to always stock all the latest punk records. So I've still got a collection of some of my punk records back in the day. And then on a Wednesday, we used to go to the New Era on Paradise Street. And that was just so good. And I still see people around, you know, and it was the place to go. You know, there's nothing for, not a lot to do for kids these days.
No.
But we had, obviously, we had no mobile phones or anything back then, and we had to make our own entertainment. But I just remember down at the New Era, they decided to do a special 24-hour punk pogo dance session.
Pogo dance, right.
Yeah. Yeah, so as punks used to pogo. And we did this all night, which was...
Well, without any breaks, you must have had a break or two.
Yeah. I think you were allowed like 5 minutes rest, yeah. each hour.
Yeah.
But it's a place that everybody, you know, went to and did. And I'm only reminiscing with somebody, actually, Eddie Grant, who I ain't seen for probably 40 years.
Not the Eddie Grant.
No, not the Eddie Grant, but a lot of people will know Eddie Grant.
Yeah.
And we were just sat in a local coffee bar only a couple of weeks ago, and we were just reminiscing back of all the people and the places, and you know, and we had like mutual friends, you know, who were all punks back in the day, you know, and it's like, and it's one of those things of going through life. And yeah, I went through that era, and it was really enjoyable and nice.
Nothing wrong with that at all. I mean, and look, youth clubs are brilliant. I used to go to one in the 60s, but that was up Church Street, and it's not even there now. It was like where Barnes Furnishings used to be. It was an old factory. When we used to get bands on, there was a concrete floor. You could actually feel it through your whole body and the bass. It was absolutely fantastic, and yeah. So I know, you know, I had my moments as well, but yeah, it's a while since. And yeah, that's lovely that you had that room, those memories as well. But then talking about your work, we've gone through all this guess who where this is and things like that, which was a very good feature. And you took that to sort of past and present, didn't you, and stuff like that after as well.
Yeah, I did that many, many years ago. I used to like doing Where Is This? And why are, you know, why, who lived in the big houses that we have so prominent, you know, in our borough of Hindburn. So I did some research and did a feature and put all these big houses on the front cover back in 2011 and 12 at the very, very beginning. And now, in 2015, quite by accident, so my office space is in Oslo Twistle Business Centre. And every Tuesday evening, there's the Blackburn and East Lancashire Model Railway Society meet on a Tuesday evening up there. And they used to make me a cup of tea if I were going up there doing my admin and working. And this is how this was born back in 2015. They came to me and said, Tracy, come and have a look at this. And anyway, so I went in, and there's about 20 railway displays in there, in the business centre. And they'd done a replica of a 1953 of Rishton Railway Station, and they were due to do their exhibition down at Ironburn Sports Centre. So me being me, and I always like to try and help anybody where I can, and I said, oh, they wanted to do an advert to promote it, and I said, look, I said, this is of like nice importance, and you know, and the Acorn Community News is all good news and no bad news, and what to do, where to go, and that type of thing.
Yeah, it's an upbeat magazine, isn't it? Because you get plenty of doom and gloom in the
exactly, the yeah. And papers. I do 11,000 of them every month, and and I just said to them, I said, look, I said, if you give me some posters and you know, and some leaflets, I'll take them down. It was actually, I'd just done, I'd just been to Rishton Festival in July, and I'd just taken lots of photographs. So every August, I always do a Rishton feature. And I said, look, so I'm working down in Rishton. I said, give me these and I'll take them down. So I did, and all the businesses put them up. And again, just through chatting about it, lots of new business, and they all decided that they wanted to place an advert. So I actually got, I think it was 8 pages on Rishton.
Wow.
That I knew nothing at all about Rishton. at all. So I went into the library. I've just been speaking about this week because Matthew, who used to be the librarian down there, and I said, you're going to have to help me. I said, I don't know anything about Rishton. I've got all this space I've got to fill. I need some stories and I need people to speak to. And he said to me, he said, Tracy, this is your lucky day. He said, go over to that cabinet over there. And there was a two-drawer cabinet. And he said, open the bottom drawer. And he said, this morning I have just put all these photographs in order. Well, it was like a Pandora's box. I opened the cabinet and instantly I knew what I was going to fill all my pages with. There was wonderful pictures of 100 years ago on Rishton. So when I thought, right, what I can do is showcase these pictures from 100 years ago and take the exact same pictures as what was taken to now. Yeah, so that's how it started. So in 2015, in August, I produced this wonderful feature that I did for 2 years. So I didn't just do Rishton, I did Great Arden, also Twistle and Accrington. Then I did every street. And there's so many more.
You've done lots of Accrington now, haven't you?
Yeah, there's so many wonderful pictures that's come from that I've just restarted doing it all again.
Well, the thing was, as well, I remember in that period doing that railway station thing, they had a railway exhibition, didn't they? And you sent me a pinch of photos, and I actually made a sideshow on our website for that, if you remember, and
there were photos on there. Yeah.
And it was really interesting, and everybody seemed to like that, didn't they, as well?
And what came from that as well, the amount of people that went down to the sports centre that actually wanted to go and see that. So just that networking produced, obviously, that. And not only that, The railway exhibition of Rishton was actually taken to Rishton Library just through talking about it. Mm-hmm. And all the school children went to Rishton Library to go and see it.
It snowballed, didn't it?
Snowballed, right.
Next to your next piece of music, right? And this time, Don't You Want Me, Baby? Now, that's not a question. You don't have to answer that. By the Human League. And... You're going to tell me all about why you picked that after we've played this, but just for the time being, we'll relax and listen to Don't You Want Me, Baby by the Human League.
bit when I hear that you won't see me. Don't you want me? You know I don't believe you when you say that you don't need me. It's much too late to find. You think you've changed your mind? You'd better change it back or we will both be sorry. Don't you want me, baby? Don't you want me? Oh, don't you want me, baby? Don't you want me?
So, we'll carry on with this, and you can tell me now.
Right, so the Human League and Phil Oakley was just one of my favourite bands back in the day. But when I was, maybe I shouldn't be saying this, but I will. When I was 17, I actually started working down at Worley Arms. A lot of my best friends are a year older than me, so they were already 18. And one of my friends got me a job working down at Worley Arms. And so I told a little white lie saying that I was already 18 to be able to work behind the bar. And in the meantime, me and my friend, we got headhunted to go and work in Rumours, which later became, as everyone knows it, as Shifters, which was the most iconic. The weekend in Accrington on a nightlife night out, people used to come from everywhere because we had such good nightlife. Anyway, so Don't You Want Me Baby, some of the lyrics from Don't You Want Me Baby was, I was working as a waitress in a cocktail bar.
Yeah.
When I met you, and
well,
that's
you actually
how,
were, weren't you?
And that's how I met Alan, my other half. So I was working behind the bar for 2 years in Shifters, and I absolutely loved it. And I used to decide on the Friday, Saturday, I had like 3 or 4 different sets of friends. So depending where they were going, whether they were going up to Lord of Dawes, you know, at that stage, or and back in them days, you know, the men wore shirt and tie, so you knew that they were going to a nightclub, you know, to up to Lord of Dawes, or whether we'd just go to the Asher for an Indian, or you know, whether I'd just go home. But 9 times out of 10, I'd be meeting my friends more than likely up at Lord of Dawes. So on one of my nights off, I was out with a friend, and she fancied one of Alan's friends who was a postman at the time. And this sounds very cliche, but our eyes met.
Yeah.
Across the room. He was stood at the bar and I was by the DJ stand. And I just thought, do you know what? You look very nice. And that was it. And we started, you know, we saw each other a couple of times, and then that was November 19th, so that we have to go for that date when we met, because obviously we're not married. So that's one anniversary. No. And then the anniversary on August 9th when we got engaged. And his chat-up line to me was, he followed me down the stairs, and I remember everything about him, what he was wearing. And his chat-up line to me was, are you coming to buy me a Chinese?
Oh, very nice chat-up
line. Yeah, so we ended up going to the I think it was called the Red Dragon at the time. It later became Holy Garden by the Viaduct, next door to Asher at that time. So every year, now on our anniversary, 1 year I'll buy the Chinese, and the next year after he buys the Chinese. So we still do that all these years on.
I was actually quite surprised that you didn't pick Beyonce Single Lady as one of your tracks. You know, if you want it, you've got to put a ring on it. That would be a big hint, wouldn't it? But anyway.
Oh, no, that's too recent, though. But that old, because yeah. That's how we met, and I was working.
I understand. And it's very good recollections, isn't it? It's lovely when you can think back on something like that. And music brings things alive as well, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
It really does.
I had so many songs I could choose from. I had 10, and I've whittled it down to 5. Yeah, but
you've done very well.
Yeah.
So we go back to the magazine and the website, and apart from all the local stuff, we've actually managed to interview a few celebrities in our time as well, haven't we?
Oh my, we've met so many wonderful, wonderful people. Mm. And we've met them in person, and we've done interviews over the phone. And Peter, you are an inspiration to lots and lots of people, not only with the Oz Twistle writers that you're still involved with, because that stopped for a while, didn't it? Obviously with COVID and everything. That's been resurrected again, but your writing skills and interview skills, has helped me the Acorn with so many wonderful people. And one of the first interviews that you did for me was Julie Esmondel. She got Freedom of the Borough.
That's right, yeah.
And I will say this, because this is what happened. On the day of Julie Esmondel going up to Accrington Rossendale College, she just got Freedom of the Borough, and they were doing like this special ceremony for her up there. And I woke up and my front tooth had fallen out, and I didn't want to go and see anybody. So I asked Peter, would he go and...
That's me.
Peter here. Yeah. I asked him, would he kindly go and do the interview, with her, and you carry on, Peter, because you found that...
Yeah, well, my wife Rita got your ticket, so she was quite happy because she got to sit. There's only like 180 in the whole room, so we felt quite privileged. And I took plenty of pictures of her, put them on the front page of the magazine and everything. And she's such a lovely lady, and she did a speech, and she just left Coronation Street at that time. And the first thing she actually did after Coronation Street was called...
Cucumber.
If I can remember this now, it was called Cucumber, wasn't it? Cucumber, yeah. And of course, it was about the gay community, and it was quite racist. And when people asked her why she picked that, she just said because Russell T. Davis wrote it, and she thinks he's one of the best writers in the business. So, yeah, but she's done plenty of stuff since then, and she's gone on from one good thing to another.
And when we've been in an audience with Julie up at the Civic Theatre, and a mum absolutely loves reading the Acorn Community News magazine. And she was moving house, and I was with another event with Julie and a mum. And a mum said, oh, Tracy, she said, I hope I'm going to get magazine where I'm going to. And I said, if I don't deliver where you're going, I said, Maureen, I said, I'll make sure that you get it. Anyway, so as it happened, where she was going to move to was only around the corner from her mother-in-law, so I told her that she was going to get it. So when Julie was in the magazine, when she got the Freedom of the Borough on the front cover, I took around a few copies so that the family could all have a copy each of it. And a mum let me into a little secret, which... I confronted Julie in front of all the audience, because there was a questions and answers after she'd done a talk on, Accrington and her upbringing.
Yeah.
And a mum said to me that she turned down Paul Dark to do the Cucumber. And her mum was absolutely mortified because it was a favourite programme.
Oh, what a shame.
At yeah. that time, and she really, really wanted to do it. So we've had a few laughs along the way.
Yeah.
And one of the other interviews, we interviewed Sue Pollard. Do you remember, Peter? That was only actually
last year. We did a phone interview
year.
To Sue Pollard.
Yeah, and we did a telephone interview, and Peter was too unwell to actually go when she actually came to Civic Theatre. But I actually went and met her, and oh my goodness, she was so infectious with laughter, and you know, and it was so nice to meet these, you know, to meet these people.
I think it's a bit like Julie Esmondel. She's what you see is what you get.
It is,
you know, they're very, very nice people.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Really are.
And some of the other interviews, you know, Peter, you say, well, you know, what you've done.
Well, I've done
you
Connie
know.
Hyde, and I've lately done one from Neighbours called Colette Mann, and. I mean, anybody that's watched Neighbours, and there's probably about 1 million people in this country. I've got about just over 100 people read it now, so it's, you know, some people must like
and
it.
And the magazine's only just going out as,
it is,
we, as
so,
we're
yeah,
speaking
so you'll
now.
Get some more,
so,
possibly some more comments there.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll go on to your next piece of music, your next choice, which is If You Could See Me Now by The Script. And I know nothing about this group. This is quite a modern one. It's 2012, you tell me. So tell me, well, we'll listen to it first, and then you can tell me all about it. So here it is, The Script, singing If You Could See Me Now.
It was February 14, Valentine's Day. The roses came, but they took you away. Tattooed on my arm is a charm to disarm all the harm. Gotta keep myself calm, but the truth is you're gone. And I'll never get to show you these songs. Dad, you should see the tours that I'm on. I see you standing there next to Mom, both singing along, yeah, arm in arm. Now there are days when I'm losing my faith, because the man wasn't good, he was great. He'd say music was the home for your pain, and explain I was young, he would say, take that rage, put it on the page, take the page to the stage, blow the roof off the place. I'm trying to make you proud, do everything you did. I hope you're up there with God saying that's my kid.
I still look for your face in the crowd. Oh, if you could see.
If you could see me now, would you recognize me? Would you pat me on the back or would you criticize me? Would you follow every line on my tear-stained face? Put your hand on a heart that was cold as the day you were taken away. I know it's been a while, but I can see you clear as day. Right now, I wish you could hear you say, I drink too much and I smoke too much Dutch. But if you can't see me now, that's it's a must. I used to say I won't know a win until it costs me. Like I won't know real love till I've loved and I've lost it. So if you've lost a sister, someone's lost a mom. And if you've lost a dad, then someone's lost a son. And they're all missing out, yeah, they're all missing out. So if you get a second to look down at me now, Mom, Dad, I'm just missing you now.
And I still look for your face in the crowd. Oh, if you could see. Would you love me a loser or a winner? Oh, 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 oh.
So, Tracy, you just listened to If You Could See Me Now by The Script. Could you tell me why you chose that and a little bit about it, please?
Of course. The Script is my favourite band who, since 2012, I've been to see once or twice every year. And I've even had the pleasure of actually meeting Danny O'Donoghue, who did lead singer of The Script, which came about, we went to a concert in Bridlington and we was going to try to get to the front of the stage, but we got lost, me and my friend Rachel who I went with, we got lost on the way, so we ended up where we actually had to be on the balcony. But one of the things that we'd done just for a marketing purpose were, Danny O'Donoghue used to be one of the original judges with Tom Jones on The Voice. And I said, you know what, Tom Jones gets knickers. And I said, I've got a beautiful bra. And Rachel, my friend who had the sewing room, sold my business card into the bra, which I had intended to throw onto the stage. But obviously, being on the balcony, that didn't happen. But when we came out of the actual show, which was absolutely fantastic, we were looking for a taxi rank, and Bridlington's a bit like a hilly Blackpool, and we came out and there weren't us all around, and it was July, out of summer, and we went around this corner and lo and behold, the Script's buses, coaches were there that they were sleeping on when they were travelling, you know, to each of the venues. And a security guard came up and just, there were only about 20 people there, and a security guard came up and said, oh, if you hang fire, they're all going to come out, they're going to come out, the band, and meet you. And I said, really? Yeah, so I said to Rachel, I brought my bra to Danny, just for him to mention Acorn Community News on stage. And I said, do I give it him, do I not? And I said, you know what, I'm never going to see him again. I said, let's have a laugh and give it a whirl. Anyway, so as he approached me, she had the camera in hand, and I just took the bra out of my handbag, and I said, I know that you're touring at the minute, and I said, I've just got a gift for you. And I said, I were going to throw it on stage, and I mentioned Tom Jones gets knickers, and I thought you might like this. And I just handed him the bra, and I've had a Facebook picture which I haven't been able to take off up until about 4 months ago, and it only went off by accident, was Danny grinning as I handed him the bra on you know, to him. So that was a you know, fantastic moment. But they are my favourite band, and the song that I've just chosen, If You Could See Me Now, is more relevant to me, because the lyrics speak about he lost his dad, and the lyrics are basically to his dad, which is relevant for my mum and dad, if you could see me now and what I've achieved.
Oh, that's
so
awful.
That's why I chose that song.
I'm quite relieved, actually, because I didn't know you were going with this. When you said I took the bra, I thought... Oh, out of the bag, that's all right. Out of the bag, that's fine.
Yeah, no, I didn't take it off. No, I did take it out of the bag. And it was a brand new £50 Freya bra.
Oh, right.
That I hope he made good use of it. I did tell him that, if anybody who knows me, I am quite well endowed. And and I just said, if you want to use for this, use it as a beer can carrier around your bus.
Yes, and it amused him, did it?
Yeah, and yeah. That's why he laughed.
And did you say you had a business card stitched into it?
Oh, yeah, I had my business card stitched into it, because whilst he's on stage, and obviously I thought he might have like said, oh, he's Tracy from Acorn Community News, so it would have been a plug in front of the thousands of people.
That could be open to a bit of confusion as well, I would think, sticking that in your butt. Anyway, we better move on quick here.
Yeah.
So, this year has seen you at Downing Street, hasn't it? So you tell us a bit about that.
Wow. So back in April, and it was the second week of Easter holidays, I got what I thought was a spam email. I was in a customer and he was busy sorting, so I was just checking through my emails, and I received something that I didn't open, and it just said, and it was to my private email address, and not my business one. It just said, Tracy Simmons, you have cordially been invited to attend number 10 Downing Street. And I thought, yeah, of course I have. I said, who knows? And it come from number 10 Downing Street. I thought, who knows me? Tracy Simmons at number 10 Downing Street. So I was just having a laugh about it, but to be honest with you, I just wanted it off my phone because I thought it was going to, you know, corrupt.
Yeah, I thought it might be a bug,
you know, a virus. And anyway, so my customer, Peter, for mail transport, come back to me. And I said, I've just received this. And I let him read it. And I said, I just want it off my phone. I said, but what if it's real? And I said, it ain't going to be real. So, and part of it was to attend a local media champions reception hosted by Secretary of State for Media, Culture and Sport, Lucy Fraser. So we Googled her whilst I was there. And he said, well, this is her. And she'd just been on TV that week. And I sort of recognise her. I said, from being on the news. And he said, you're going to check it out. And I said, I will in the morning. Anyway, the day after, I sent the email to Sarah Brickley, for our local MP. And I just said, please, can you check this out? I really don't want to open this, just in case it causes a virus. Anyway, so I got an out-of-office reply. And then an hour later, I got an email from Sarah saying, Tracy, I'm in Germany, and nobody's real. For all the good that you do in the town, I just nominated you to attend the reception at number 10 Downing Street. So then I started getting goosebumps and a bit of cobby wobbles and thinking, oh my gosh, you know, I've achieved something to go down there. Anyway, so myself and my daughter actually went down on April the 19th, and what a fantastic experience of going into number 10 Downing Street, you know, and doing that. But before that, we had a tour of the Houses of Parliament, and we were invited to go up into the Houses of Parliament, up in the gallery, to listen to what was going on. And then we did that for about 15-20 minutes, and then Dora invited us for a drink in the Strangers Bar, which is only by MPs, and you can only go in as a guest. It's not open to the public. Then we went to Downing Street, which was absolutely incredible. And just hearing about the history of down there, and just going through that door, number 10, it was absolutely
unreal. That's an experience, actually.
Very unreal, yeah. So in return, I've just been to the Iron Business Awards in June. And one of the winners from last year, they were representing again in the family business category. So after the meal, I went round and wished everybody good luck, you know, and I hope that they win an award. And when I approached the table of Threlfalls, which is a farm dairy, Paul Threlfalls said to me, Tracy, he said, why don't you come on the farm and milk a cow? So I'd had a couple of drinks, and so had he. And I said, oh, Paul, that's not something you get. Yeah, of course I can. So I said, I look forward to that. I said, can I bring somebody if she'll accept to come? So he said, yeah, of course you can. Anyway, so I went back to the table and I asked Sarah Brickliffe, who was on the table at the time. And I said, Sarah, I said, how do you fancy coming milking the cow with me? I said, we've got a date at the farm. So she agreed. So she took me to Downing Street and I took her on the farm. So we actually just did this last week.
Yeah, and there's some I saw some pictures. It was very
incredible. And do you know what? You appreciate. I pass that farm very often down on Duncan Archway, and I appreciate now even more so the job that they do just to get your milk on the table. You know, just to get it in, you know, to your door. You know, it's absolutely incredible. And we milked the cows, and we actually saw, well, we didn't actually see it, but it was only 10 minutes old, we just missed it. In one of the sheds, a cow had just given birth to a calf.
Oh, that's okay.
And the cold was in just to, you know, to go and witness, you know, like, to that.
Feel,
and that,
feel a bit like James Herriot then, wouldn't you?
Oh my gosh, yeah, it was absolutely incredible. Yeah.
So that's good. I mean, I think what put me off is getting up that early in the morning to
drink. Oh, yeah, half past 6 in the morning, yeah, over there. Exactly. And we were there for 2 hours, and it was a nice day. But one of the things that they said were, make sure you know, wear your scruffs and your wellies. Mm. And I knew why when I went to the car, because so glad I took my jacket off, because I had the remnants of a cow all over the back of my coat.
But that's another story, isn't it?
But that's another story, yeah.
So, what do you have in the pipeline for the future then, for Acorn and for me?
Right, so for me, thank you, Peter, for all the work that you've done, you know, in helping me over these last years. It's my 12th year anniversary, and you came along in my first year when you asked if you could, you know, do an article every month for us at Twitter Writers. So we used to have, like, different writers writing poems and stories at the very beginning. And then I went online with the website, which you create for me. And along the way, we have met so many wonderful people telling them their stories and the celebrities that we've been able to meet and interview.
Quite mind-boggling, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's just so nice that we've had this experience and shared it. You know, you're a good friend, and we've had these, you know, and I just want more in the future.
Yeah,
you know,
that's fine.
So I just think we need to carry on. And at the minute, I'm working on something 100 years past the present. I did do it quite a few years ago, but I've got more new pictures now. And a local painter, David Sherburn, who is a brother to Peter Sherburn, who did the commission for the Queen when the Queen came to the Market Hall in 2012. I've got 7 of David's paintings that are going on the front covers.
Oh, they're lovely, aren't they?
And they're absolutely beautiful, and a credit to the man. And from that, I am creating more now new stories from each of those areas that those paintings represent.
I mean, local history is so important as well. I mean, I was looking this week, I think it was either on one of the programs, they were showing all these pictures of Peel Street when they had trams and things. So that was really
which
interesting.
In my next edition, which is just about to go to press in October, that is, I've got a painting from 110 years ago that is actually painted from a black and white photograph and put his own stamp on it. And all the customers who I've shown are absolutely bowled over by it.
And it takes you a while to really appreciate what it was then and what it is now, doesn't it? And
of course,
And of course, when you see them next to each other, it begins to make sense then.
And it's change. Nobody likes change, but change has got to happen, you know, and we're in a society.
Some for better and some for worse.
Some for better, some for worse. But we've got to adapt to the change. Yeah. And, you know, Accrington, we're looking to obviously have this levelling up fund being spent on the Market Hall, you know, and the two buildings. And we've just got to look to the future and try and encourage new business, you know, to the area.
Of course. Well,
we need the footfall coming
to
town, but we need the business to come to town.
We need to grow, don't we, as a town?
We do need to grow.
We need to sort of get back to where we were, and it's not going to be easy,
But it's not just us. Every town in the country.
It's affected everybody.
Are going through exactly the same.
Absolutely. Right, so your last piece of music.
Yes.
Is Dancing Queen by ABBA. And since it is your last piece of music, I'm not going to be able to ask you after, so I'll ask you now, why did you pick this piece?
Wow, so last year, over the last few years, I love my music, I love any genre of music, and I've still got all my vinyls, which is, you know, and I still play them. I've still got my record player that I play, and I wish I'd have seen Michael Jackson, Whitney Houston, George Michael, even Amy Winehouse, all these iconic artists that have gone, but the music is still played every day on different radio stations. People identify and...
You're never going to forget these people,
You're never going to forget it. So 2 years ago, my other half, Alan, he was coming up to 60, and the tickets had just come on sale for ABBA to go to the... Avatar stage experience, the Voyage experience down in London.
Voyage, yeah.
So I bought them on the first day of sale, purely for his birthday present. They were on sale in September, and it weren't till the following June. And it was when, so we went the first Saturday of June when it was the Queen's Platinum Jubilee, and we travelled down to London on the Friday, and just to go and actually witness, we actually came away from that venue after seeing ABBA as advertised on stage, thinking that we had just seen ABBA. It was that good, and we can't wait to go back again. Oh. And at the end, they came on stage. It was the first week, and they'd been on interviews and all the news channels and everything that week. Mm-hmm. They came on stage and thanked everybody.
Oh. So you did actually see ABBA live as well, then, in person?
Or did we? Were they advertised?
Oh, yes. You never know these days with AI and things.
Absolutely incredible. And any party I've gone to over the years, as soon as Dancing Queen comes on, I'm up on the dance floor.
Very good.
So that's one of my favourite, obviously, records of all time.
And it's been a real pleasure doing this interview with you, because I know we've known each other for a long time, but it's still nice, and it's nice to listen to you. You know, your experiences and how you felt about them. So I thank you very much, Tracy Simmons, for the moment. Thank you very much. Now we're going to play Dancing Queen by ABBA.
Thank you.
Beautiful.